Welcome to PGAFC Pulpit Ministry, a ministry that is committed to the preaching of the Word to transform lives.
Good morning, everyone. Such a joy to be here on Easter morning. Such a joy to see so many baptized and in two languages. Give thanks to the Lord for each one who has declared their faith in Jesus this morning. So today's Easter sermon is titled Seeing the Risen Jesus. We've just been going through the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, and we are now at the final chapter, chapter 24. And I think we all love the finales, right? We love the endings, the good endings, the happily ever afters. When we watch our dramas, we can't wait for, you know, the villain to go to jail or to finally confess their love to each other, or for the struggling businessman to finally make it big. Easter can feel like the happy ending of Jesus' story, where darkness is overturned, death is defeated, and Jesus is alive. But Luke 24 also shows us that before the joy came, there was confusion, fear, doubt, and grief. And even at the end of the chapter, the story is not really over. So let's take ourselves back to that first Easter morning. And we are not going to read the whole chapter, so I'm just kind of do a quick recap before we read today's passage. Early that morning, the women found the tomb empty and heard the news, "He is not here. He has risen." And later that day, two disciples met Jesus on the road to Emmaus, and though they did not recognize him, when he started breaking bread to them, they realized who he was. And they rushed back to Jerusalem with the news, "He has risen indeed." Now we're going to read today's passage. Sugar, can you go with me to Luke chapter 24, 36-53. Yes, we're going to read the whole thing. I'm going to need some help. So I'd like this side of the hall to read the first chunk, the middle to read the second chunk, and this side to read the third chunk. Okay, so it's the first chunk, so on this side, shall we read together? 1, 2, 3. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it, because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in his presence. Thank you. Now for the second part, if those are for you in the middle, verse 44. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead and on the third day. And repentance of the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." Okay, this side, louder. Last one, verse 48. "You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. Thank you, Lord, for your word to us today. May you open up our eyes, open up our hearts to your word, that your word will take root in our hearts and transform our minds and our beings. In Jesus' name, amen. So what good news we are reading today. We see the risen Jesus and him appearing to so many. When somebody breathes their last, we want to draw near to hear what their last words might be. But if someone rises from the dead, I think even more, we will want to hear what they have to say to us. So today, let's take some time to see what the risen Jesus did, what he said to the disciples and whoever he met. I have 3 points today, and my first one is that the risen Jesus meets them where they are. In the final chapter, we see the confused disciples after the death of Jesus. John 20 says that they were they locked themselves in an upper room, okay? They were behind locked doors because they were thinking, if they would go after Jesus, are they going to come for us next? So they were in fear and confusion, and they were discussing what they were hearing, right? The story of the empty tomb, the road to Emmaus. So they kind of processing it together, and they were startled, they were frightened, they were troubled. And while they were still talking, while they were still processing it, Jesus came and he said, "Peace be with you." And in John 20, it says, "Peace be with you," 3 times. Jesus repeated it over and over again. It could be that Jesus wanted to calm them down. I mean, if you see someone rise from the dead, you will be scared, you will be startled, you will be frightened. And Jesus came to say, "Peace be with you." But I think Jesus meant a little bit more than just a regular hello, right? Jesus also brought more peace, a next level of peace to the disciples. Romans 5 verse 1 says that, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." And Jesus came to bring this peace for troubled hearts, peace for broken lives. Last week, Elder Chi Wai spoke about peace unrecognized, that the people did not recognize the peace of Jesus. While they wanted a peaceful government, Jesus showed them a greater peace. Peace, shalom, means wholeness, restoration, and being made right again. And through his death and resurrection, Jesus comes and says to each one of us, "Peace be with you." SPM results just came out last week, and with that can sometimes bring a little bit of anxiety. Will I get into my dream college? Will I get enough good results to get into that college? Will I have enough funds to make it to the end of tertiary? Or if I'm applying for a scholarship, will I be able to keep my CGPA up high enough so that I can maintain this scholarship? And so student life can be stressful, striving to keep those grades to stay in the dean's list. There's nothing wrong with being students. Please continue studying hard. But I wonder if also that sometimes we can also do that spiritually, that we try to keep our spiritual performance up so that we don't lose our salvation, that there's some kind of anxiety that we may not be good enough for God and that we are striving on our own strength. Easter is a reminder that Jesus comes to bring peace between God and man. And this peace is not from our own doing, but a gift of God. We cannot work hard to keep it, but we can trust God to help us to stay faithful to him. We continue with Jesus and we see how patient he was when he approached the disciples. They were obviously scared and startled, and he does not shame them like, "Well, you don't believe me," right? He patiently comes in, he says, "Look, touch me and see." And he showed them his hands and his feet and the wounds that were in his body. I don't know if you've ever seen a friend who've come back from overseas and you don't expect to see them, right? And then you need to kind of touch them and handle them to make sure that they are really here in the flesh. And Jesus came near and he allowed them to do that. He allowed them, he allowed their doubts, he allowed their questions. So Jesus appeared to the grieving woman at the tomb. He appeared to the confused disciples at Emmaus, the scared disciples at the upper room, even to those who doubted him and had questions about him. So what do we see about the risen Jesus here? We see that Jesus truly met them where they were, whether they are amidst of fear or grief or questions or doubts, Jesus met them there. Easter is a happy day, a day where we rejoice over Jesus' resurrection, but also a day that we can remember that Jesus meets us in our sorrow, in our disappointment, and our fears. If we are grieving a loved one or a crushed dream, if you're a little bit disappointed about how life has played out, maybe despite your best hopes or efforts that things are just not going the way you had hope. If you are fearful about the future, or feeling the financial pressure, or the emotional pressure of a family crisis, or even if you're not a follower of Jesus today, and you have questions about Jesus, Jesus sees you and he meets you here. So my prayer is that just like on the road to Emmaus, Jesus drew close, the disciples did not recognize them. My prayer is that we will recognize that Jesus is here to hear our questions, to hear our doubts, and to work through things walking alongside us. As we go along the passage in verse 44 to 47, we see that the risen teacher is also, risen Jesus is also a teacher. He reveals himself in the scripture. Have you ever watched a movie where there was a plot twist and then the moment something happens, you realize that the rest of the story before suddenly makes sense? Things that you didn't understand before suddenly start falling into place. And that's kind of what Jesus was doing in his walking Bible study on the road to Emmaus. Jesus actually told them many times already that he would die and be rise again, die and rise again. He said it over and over again through the Gospels. But of course, it takes time to process something like this. So the disciples still did not fully grasp it. And in this walking Bible study, Jesus took time to explain all the scriptures that were talking about himself. Right, everything in here is talking about Jesus, and suddenly their eyes were open and they recognized him. And then Jesus disappeared. And then later in the upper room, we also see Jesus taking them through scripture. So after saying, "Touch my hands and feet, it is really me," he then looked through the scriptures again with the disciples to show the law of Moses, the prophets, the Psalms, and he opened their minds to truly understand what scripture was saying. And this is the crux of the story, that the Messiah would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Jesus was proving himself through the scriptures. And the peak is that Jesus wanted to let them know that repentance was available, that forgiveness was available. So here we see a very patient Jesus walking them through who he really was, patiently showing them his risen body, and then patiently just walking them through scriptures as well to show them who he really was. And I think with the disciples that they were there at the time, that this was enough for them. But I wonder for us, like 2,000 years later, is that enough for us to believe? Some of us, yes. Some of us may be still thinking. I'm just going to pause here for a while, and if you allow me to take you on a bit of a side quest. If you are here today and you're not fully sure if Jesus really died and rose again, how can there be 500 old people here who believe that a man died and rose again? Is there really such a thing? I remember in the past when I was teaching in the school, we were having an art competition, it was something called Myths and Legends Art Competition. So one of the kids kind of innocently asked the teacher and said, "Teacher, can I draw Jesus?" And then someone I looked up to, she basically said, "Yeah, you can draw Jesus. There's no proof that he ever existed on earth." And as a new teacher, someone who was still kind of finding my place, I sadly remained silent. So I'm going to try and make up for it today. just borrowing some points on Lee Strobel's Case for Christ. Some of you have read it. This is a man who was a skeptic, atheist, and his wife wanted to become a Christian. And when he found out, he decided he's going to prove her wrong and save her from this scam. So he's a very educated man, Yale educated. He was an investigative journalist, and he spent 2 years of his time looking into ancient texts and scriptures to find evidence that Jesus didn't rise from the dead. But obviously, he was proven otherwise. That's why he wrote the book. So just a few things that I want to point out. First, that Jesus' life and death is historically certain. We talk about how the Bible is valid, but even if you don't believe the Bible, there are many non-Christian ancient sources that support key facts about Jesus. These writers may not have been Christian, they did not follow Jesus, but they can confirm that Jesus was a real person, a real historical figure, that he was crucified, and that devotion to him began very early. Okay, so he lived, he died, we're sure of that. Now, what about the resurrection? Surely we cannot do kind of a lab experiment and repeat it. And maybe archaeologically, it's hard to find tactilely something that we can touch and see. But there are some strong reasons to believe that it did happen. And the first one is an early account that the resurrection belief was immediate. When we talk about legends, right, legends take time to develop. From your nenek moyang to go down, 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 at least two generations or more for the story of a legend to become passed down. But we see in 1 Corinthians, this creed or this statement of beliefs, this belief that Jesus died and rose again, this was written 3 to 5 years after Jesus' death. Too soon for it to be a legend. So they didn't consider Jesus just a good teacher, but truly someone who rose again. We also have the empty tomb that we sang about this morning. This is a largely undisputed fact. The opponents also agree that the tomb was empty, and that's why they say maybe the disciples stole the body. It's like saying, I don't have my homework today because the dog ate it. You're admitting that the homework is not there, and so you make up about the dog eating it. So if the body had still been in a tomb, or if anyone else could find Jesus' body, the whole crux of Christianity will be shut down. And finally, we see eyewitnesses that Jesus appears alive to over 500 people. He appears to skeptics, to doubters, to men, to women, indoors, outdoors, at different times. They say with ancient sources, if you have 1 to 2 sources, it's considered quite valid. I think there are over 9 ancient sources that say the same thing, that the disciples claimed Jesus' resurrection. If they were lying, it kind of didn't make sense. They didn't get rich from it. They didn't get powerful from it. And in fact, they got persecuted for it. And if they really wanted to have a credible lie, would they have asked women? At the time, women's testimony was not credible. And the fact that Jesus rose first to the women made that they are not lying, lah. If you want to run a scam, you go and pretend to be some royal police or something, right, to make it a credible scam. But we see so many eyewitnesses, and we know that they cannot have lied, and they couldn't have been hallucinating all 500 people at the same time. And lastly, we see that the disciples' lives were truly changed, that after they witnessed the risen Jesus, they didn't go back to their usual lives, that they lived bold lives, transformed as disciples of Jesus. Thank you for listening for the past 5 minutes. So just kind of saying that Christ's resurrection is truly the cornerstone of our Christian faith. And I think if this is not true, then everything we do today does not make sense. But if we do believe in the resurrection, then we believe in the Bible. And we should continue to read it to find Jesus in the scriptures. And to find connections between the Old Testament and the New Testament. St. Augustine said that the New Testament is concealed in the Old, and the Old Testament is revealed in the New. And as we dig deeper into God's Word, we will see these beautiful connections between the Old and the New, how as we read who Jesus is, and we look back at the previous episodes in OT, we realize how Jesus was always there, and Jesus was always prophesied about. Even the disciples had problem truly seeing who Jesus was. But as he revealed himself in the scriptures, we see hearts burning, we see open minds. And that's my prayer and our prayer for all of us here today, that as we read scripture, that our eyes will truly be open. So if Jesus is truly alive, are we meeting him in his words? And if our hearts have grown cold in some way, would we ask him to open our minds and burn our hearts so that we can set our hearts on fire for his word again? Water break. Followers of Jesus, how central is the Bible to you and how important is it? Do we open it every day like it's our daily bread or our rice bowl or our staple food? Do we open it more than we open the refrigerator to look for snacks and chocolates? Interesting finding in the recent years, they say there has been a spike in Bible reading among the Gen Zs. You can't see, it's very small, but 2024 to 2025 goes from 30 to 40 to 50%. This is, of course, US data in Barna, and they're saying that Gen Zs are kind of overtaking the rest of the generations in terms of reading the Bible. We don't know local data. Any researchers welcome to start some local data here. But the point is, we want to grow in our Bible reading. We want to grow in loving the scriptures and in making God's word our daily bread. And if you are not a believer today, would you also ask Jesus to open your minds as you read the Bible? Give the Bible a chance. Give God a chance to prove himself in the scriptures for you to find Jesus in those pages. So in our first and second point, we see that Jesus doesn't just prove he's alive in his body, but also in the scriptures. And finally, we see in the last chunk of the passage, verse 48 to 53, that Jesus sends them. And so after all that, Jesus now sends them forth with a message and a mission to remind them that they are witnesses for a reason. And he recaps the whole message and their mission. The message is to call people to repentance, to tell them that they can be forgiven of their sin. And this is the entire gospel, that we need God's forgiveness, and we find that in Jesus. Today, we have had a powerful testimony, a powerful picture of the message of the gospel, where 24 people went underwater identifying with Jesus' death. They died to sin, they died to their own life, and they have risen up again, and identifying with Jesus' resurrection. And that is what Jesus still does today. He forgives, he restores, and he gives people a new life and a new mission. Maybe some of us watching today are thinking that I also want that kind of fresh start. I wish my old life could be washed away, that I could begin again in the freshness of Christ. And the good news is that you too can be offered that new life in Jesus. And Jesus doesn't stop there. He then gives them the mission to preach in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. It's encouragement to be able to baptize in two different languages. And being in Malaysia, we see so many nations at our doorstep and so many opportunities for us to bring this message of God to those who need it. And this is a daunting task, and that's why Jesus promises a helper. He promises the power of the Holy Spirit and asks them to stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. And the mission is humanly impossible, and therefore we need the Spirit. So as we come to the end of our series of Luke, we know that it's not the end, but we are about to witness a full unleashing of the Spirit's power in the book of Acts, Acts of the Apostles, or sometimes called Acts of the Holy Spirit. So stay tuned for next week when Reverend Alexa will start us off in the book of Acts. And finally, Jesus gives them a benediction, and he blesses them. And while he was blessing them, in the midst of it, see, actually, Jesus kept disappearing. But while he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. This morning, we've said many times, he is risen. He is risen indeed. Jesus was not just risen from his grave back to earth. Jesus was risen from earth, ascending to his throne on heaven to be seated at the right hand of God. We see Jesus moving from the crown of thorns all the way to the crown in heaven where he is reigning with his Father. His work of paying for sin, that work is finished. But the risen Jesus is still at work. He's not just enjoying the throne, but he is working as King over all, interceding, pouring out his Holy Spirit, building up his church. Jesus still reigns today. And in case you ask me, I thought Jesus' work say it is finished on the cross. Yes, our justification is done on the cross. That is the tick box already done, that Jesus only died once and for all for the penalty of sin. But where are we now? We are at the loading sign. We are being sanctified each and every day. It doesn't mean that after the waters of baptism that they come out and they're all super holy every day. We are still in the midst of being sanctified, being saved from the power of sin, daily washed by the Holy Spirit. And we look forward to one day, coming soon. We don't know when. Coming soon when we are glorified as Jesus was and we are completely saved from the presence of sin. So this morning, as we look at the risen Jesus, we see that Jesus met them where they were, in the midst of their doubts and their fears, their confusions and their questions, that Jesus was right there. We see Jesus revealing scriptures to them, opening their eyes and burning their hearts as they read his word. And we see how Jesus sends them, gives them a mission, and arms them with the power of the Holy Spirit. So our question to you today is, what do we see in the risen Jesus? Do we see a Savior who meets fearful people and offers us peace? Do we see a teacher who opens blind minds to the Scriptures? Do we see a powerful King who sends his people into the world by the power of the Spirit? Can I invite you to just close your eyes as I offer us some reflections and a closing prayer? The question this Easter is, what will you do with the risen Jesus? Are you longing for him to bring peace in the midst of your troubles? In the midst of a situation that looks like a dark tunnel? Are you inviting God to bring his peace? Some of us may be followers of Jesus, but perhaps our Bible has not been opened in a while. Our heart has grown cold towards his word. What do you say to Jesus to open my mind, to set my heart on fire, and to send me again? Some of you may have been invited here today. You're not completely sure about Jesus. Would you ask Jesus to show himself to you through the scriptures, that it will make sense, that God will make it make sense, and that your heart will be open to his forgiveness? Or perhaps your faith is strong and secure, but today we are reminded our need to preach his forgiveness to all nations. Is there someone that we would like to share this hope with, whether in word or in deeds? Give you the time to just speak to Jesus, the risen Jesus, on your own, and then I'll close us in prayer. Jesus, we thank you for the work on the cross, and we thank you for your resurrection on Easter Sunday. We truly rejoice with you, and we know that nothing that we can do can earn our salvation. And we thank you for the sacrifice that Jesus had, and we thank you for the new life that we have in him. Lord, we thank you that you are God who brings peace, and we ask for your supernatural peace to be upon us no matter what our circumstances. Bring peace to our minds, bring peace to our hearts, bring peace to our situations, Lord, a peace that transcends all understanding. We thank you for the peace that we have in you, that we can even stand before you by your grace. We pray, Lord, that you continue to open our eyes to your word, that when we do not read with human eyes, we do not read with our own understanding, but a fresh one, the one that the risen Jesus gives, that truly opens our eyes and makes our hearts burn as we look through the scriptures. Father, I want to pray for anyone here who may not have opened their heart to Jesus yet. And Father, we pray that you continue to work in their hearts. We know that you are here for their questions, for their doubts, for areas where they are struggling with. And I pray, Lord, that they too will have their eyes open and be willing to say to Jesus, yes, Lord. To be able to say to Jesus that I want you as my Lord and my Savior, and to experience new life with you. For those of us who believe, gives us a renewal, a continuous repentance to turn away from things that displease you and walk in your holy ways. We know, Lord, that we are daily being sanctified, and we pray that you remind us of our mission on earth, that we will not just make homes of our earthly dwelling, but Father, that we remember our heavenly dwelling and our mission to bring this gospel of forgiveness of sins to the people around us. So we thank you again for the hope that we have in you, and we pray, Lord, that you help us to turn our eyes to the risen Jesus, to truly experience his life in our daily lives. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. Thank you for praying along. And to close us off, we're going to have a dance by the youth. It's titled Finished, talking about how Jesus is not completely done with us. God has begun a good work in us, and he will continue it until completion.
You have been listening to a sermon from PJEFC. We hope you have been blessed by the message. For more sermons, please go to www.pjefc.org. Love God, love people, make disciples.